Well, first let me say how nice it is to be here with you guys. It's been far too long. As Pastor Joey was saying, this church has supported me for, well, it's been nearly two decades that we've been down there. I went and did my DTS in 2002, and then I've been down there on staff since June 2004, so there's quite a few new members of the church in that time. It's so great to see. It's so encouraging to see a church full of young people. As we travel around Australia, there's a lot of churches with elderly populations within them. And that's one thing that I don't think we've done super well in Australia is encouraging young people into church. And so it's so great to see so many young people here in church in what we do. So as my mom shared, it's been far too long. It's been nearly 4 years since we've been able to be back. It's been interesting 4 years for everyone, I would say, around the world. But yeah, we'll share a little bit more about that. This morning, what I want to do, won't keep everyone too long, but there's a couple things I wanted to update you guys on, some of the things that are happening within the Ministry of Youth with a Mission, YWAM. Because you guys have invested so significantly over that, you know, I find it remarkable just the faithfulness of people over that time. Like, that's a long time. This church has supported us throughout, and individuals within the church have supported us throughout that time. So it's remarkable to see the faithfulness of God to us as we've engaged in missions, but also the faithfulness of people. And so I'll share a little bit about that, because this church has been a huge part of that story. It's been really interesting, you know, coming back and seeing. We went to the play on Friday, which was exceptional. Great job, everyone who participated. It was really fun to go along to that and to see that. But I think the whole time I was just sitting there amazed at how old all the kids were. I won't say too much about myself, I guess, but and then one of the things that I want to do is want to leave you a little bit of one of the messages that I've heard over the last year that's touched me, that I thought, and I won't do it justice this morning, but I thought it hopefully will whet your appetite to consider more. So you can see behind me, this is YWAM. There's a few words there. This is one of the things that we put up that around our community to help communicate who we are and what we do. You'll see four words there around the outside. It's care, connect, serve, and build. YWAM has 18 foundational values, and they're quite broad. And a lot of times people will go, what are you talking about? What are you doing? And we often engage with people. So one of the things we do, for instance, is operate a medical ship up in Papua New Guinea. And we'll have volunteers come with us for a short time. And some of those could be Christians, some of them could be non-Christians. So then how do you have common values in what you're trying to achieve as we do this? So these are some of the words that we use. We go, while ever they participate with us, we want people to firstly care. Care for those around you, care for yourself. We want to connect with others, and then we serve in building capacity. So that's a little bit, that helps to encapsulate a little bit of, helps to create our culture. And communicate that. You'll see the big word healthy. One of the things that we want to do is build healthy communities, healthy lives. That's everything from people's spiritual well-being through to their physical well-being, through to mental well-being. And it just encapsulates a lot of that. We find very few people will disagree with us on that. What do you want to do? We want to help build healthy lives, communities, and nations. And it's a way for us to get commonality around what we do. We've got John 10:10 is one of the verses that underpins. It's the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and that I may have life, that they may have it abundantly. And that's a little bit of what we seek to do as we work with Youth with a Mission there. So what I'm going to do is I'll take us quickly through some of the projects that we've been working on over the last little bit. And then we'll go through. So Townsville is where we are, Townsville, Australia. This is probably what when most people think of YWAM, this is probably what they think of, like young people being crazy, running around, doing missions trips and short term. So we do the discipleship training programs there. We do a lot of leadership development. But we also do skills-based training. So we engage with young people through the community. We do hospitality, business administration. We've done construction training. And we've upskilled a lot of people. For instance, I helped run a Cert 1 in construction a couple years ago. There was two young guys that basically they both came to us and said, we want to engage with you guys here because if we engage with the other training providers, we're afraid that there was a strong drug scene associated with some of those, and both of them were concerned. So we came through, they did a construction course with us, and we were able to provide extra support for them. And it's encouraging to see, so that's what we seek to do, to engage young people and to help them on that. So this is, we've got a city campus in Townsville that we just moved into a decade ago. So still feels pretty new, but we've got 30 odd apartments there. We've got a beautiful facility. But that's kind of what most people think of when they think of Youth with a Mission. We also run two radio stations. So we've taken those on the last little years. One of the things, a lot of Christian radio was really strong in about the early 90s. And before, a lot of people took that on and began to develop it up. What we're seeing across Christian radio in Australia is that a lot of those initial leaders are going, I've been doing this 20 years, 25 years. I want to move on. What can we do? So there was two radio stations, one in our town that was about to go bankrupt. And they reached out to us to say, would you help us? So that's proved to be a really great partnership for us. When we took it over, we were communicating to about 26,000 people a month. That's now up to over to 42,000 people a month. And I'm amazed at the impact that Christian radio has in people's lives. Like, we'll do an appeal, people will call in and tell their stories of how it impacts them. And people will call in and say, oh, I was struggling with mental health issues. I was struggling with drugs and alcohol. And listening to the station has helped me overcome some of that. And I go, you know, like Christian radio is great, but what you realize is that many people don't have any positive influence in their life at all. Some people have no one that speaks kindly to them, no one that gives them hope, and just being able to tune in a community like this, sometimes you forget that, because if you need help, you can share on a Sunday morning, you can ask for food, you know, there's people around, and that's one of the beauties of this community is that you look out for one another. But I'm amazed at that. So yeah, and then recently, about 12 months ago, there was another station down in Gladstone, which is in Australia is considered our neck of the woods. It's a 10-hour drive. So I'd be like, yeah, Chicago, that's pretty close. We'll do something there. But nevertheless, we are like close. That's close in Australia. So so we've taken that on and been providing support to them. And we're looking to actually build an outreach hub down there. We've engaged in outreach in Gladstone for a long time, everything from school seminars to programs. So Rebecca's heavily involved in this. We work with Christian media right around Australia and have been quite influential. One of the things that we've done since taking on, in 2019, there was floods in Townsville. Picture this. 3 to 4 feet of rain in a week and a half. It's a lot of water. And it wasn't, that happens sometimes. You get like 3 to 4 feet of rain, but normally it's only like in one little section and that area floods. We basically had a tropical low that just sat off the coast and it just rained and rained and rained. Like, and across the whole, there's like a mountain range. So it was across the whole basin. So everything just kept pouring in. And you're like, man, is this ever going to stop? And anyhow, there was 17,000 homes flooded in our town. And so there's bad flooding already. We were in a drought for like 5 years, so it definitely broke. And the water supply was low, so the dam filled up to overflowing. And basically they said the town was already flooded. And they said, we're going to have to open the dam gates because otherwise it's going to potentially flood. So that night, the mayor actually called us up and asked if we could open an evacuation center at our facility. And it was really fun to see everything spring into action. Within an hour, we had evacuation facility for 100 people. There was fresh cookies and all sorts of stuff going on. And we were able to help provide that support. But with the radio station, our engagement there, so we worked with, there's a group in Townsville called the Combined Churches. There's 60 churches that kind of work together to do programs. We do a Christmas program at the beach where we have about 30,000 people come through, and it's the town of Bethlehem and all that. So the Combined Churches do that. But in this instance, we worked with State Emergency Services, the City Council, the Combined Churches, YWAM, and 99.9 Live FM. And we went door to door to all 17,000 of those homes to check in to see if they were all right. We basically said, are you okay? How are you affected? What can we do to help? And then so we did a survey with them, and then we were able to connect them with services. Because all these charities came in wanting to help, but then of these 17,000 homes, who do you know? You know, who's the old lady that can't clean the mold off her ceiling? Who needs help from emergency services to clean out the basement? And so what we did is we went door to door to all those homes just to see if they're okay. And it was really interesting to see that that project has gotten recognition at the state level. They said this is a great way to do it. And also federally, the Federal Minister for Communications, since we did that in like 2019, has use that as an example of how Christian radio and community stations should serve their community. So it's a remarkable thing. So Rebecca took a lead on that with some of our other guys on hand, and it was cool to see how we could engage that way. We'll see if we can play that video. This is the current project that was actually just finished in the last couple of weeks. So I asked them to send me a video. So we'll give you a walkthrough of our youth
precinct. My name is Lloyd. I'm one of the coordinators here at the youth precinct, and we just want to give you a quick tour around this whole facility. So behind me is the warehouse. This is a big multi-purpose space that can seat up to about 800 people. There's a basketball court there, there's pickleball courts. We're going to build a stage in there and a sound system and use that for school seminars and school programs, but also there's so many options, so many things that this can be used for as a great venue for the city. To my right here is a community cafe that we've just opened up as well. This is a large space that can be used for venue hire. It'll be open during the week as a regular cafe for people to come in. And it'll also be a great place for training and continue to partner with some of the youth work that we do here in Townsville. And then the other aspect to this precinct, which ties it all together as well, is our high ropes course. So high ropes course is a course full of over about 25 obstacles that students need to navigate through, and it's a great way to build team, help them persevere and overcome challenges, and need to work together in accomplishing different things. So we will plan to integrate all of this together through different youth programs and other programs that strengthen the community of Townsville, and also use this adventure-based learning aspect, which is really beneficial, especially to young people and the young people of Australia and young people of Townsville.
So that was one of that's our youth precinct that we call it. When we moved into our city campus 10 years ago, one of the things that was, it was a hard place to engage. The way it's set up was a hard place to engage with young people. So we've wanted to do something like this a long time ago, but just in the last little bit, we were able to work with the federal government to secure some funding to do that. So they've contributed 50% of that project. And we've just signed it off in the last couple weeks since being here. We got our final approvals, which seemed to take forever, but we got that done. So that the youth precinct is a place where we want to work with a lot of other Christian and community groups to engage. The first program that we've done, we just finished up a program called the Touring Drivers in Townsville. They've got a car theft problem where young people will steal a car. They'll go for a joyride, and then they'll either torch it, crash it, or abandon it somewhere. And one of the things that we've just partnered with a group that is engaging people that would be at risk of doing that. So maybe they were in a car. They weren't the driver, but they were in a car that did that. Or maybe they had a sibling that did it. And so we've just started engaging. We did a 6-week program with them at our youth precinct. And it's been remarkable to see, to have young people, these young guys come in, and they're just blown away by being in at the cafe. One of them said, he was blown away by the hospitality. He said, I've never had anyone look after me. He was just talking about it. One of the young guys was homeless. And he just to be in that environment and to be encouraged week after week, it's been really touching. I think some of our facilitators have nearly been in tears every week as they've engaged with some of these people, these young guys that need help. But it's great to be able to see that moving forward. So we want to do school programs. We want to be able to engage with a large volume of people on a short-term basis to start opening them up to Christian worldview, Christian values. What does it mean, you know, respect, good relationships, and all those things. And we want to work to expand that from there. In the back, one thing they didn't mention, we also, in the last little bit, we opened up a transitional house in Townsville, where we are. There's over 6,000 people that need crisis care. So they're homeless or at risk of being homeless. And most of them, the average waiting time on a list is 2 years. So you imagine, you go, okay, I'm homeless, I need some crisis care. They'll say, okay, we'll get back to you in 2 years. Like, doesn't really work that way. Crises, unfortunately, don't work that way. It's hard to plan them. So that's currently engaging with that because they're very complex issues. It's outside the scope of what we can handle. But we currently have partnered with an organization called Queensland Youth Services and a couple others that they identify people that are in crisis care who are ready to take those next steps back into the community. So we've been operating a transitional house there in Townsville where the aim would be people can stay with us for 3 to 6 months and we can help provide coaching and support for them to get a job, to get referrals into the rental market, and do that. So it's been, we've so far had at least a dozen young girls through to do that. And that's pretty encouraging to see. The next slides are, oh, perfect. Yeah, our Port Moresby campus. So the last 4 years, as I said, have been very interesting. Across the world, but we had a YWAM leader that came through at the beginning of 2020, kind of before everything went full crazy with COVID, and he was sharing this message that he felt God had spoken to him either in late 2019 or at the beginning of that year, and he said he was flying through an airport on one of his international trips, and he said he was sitting on the plane or sitting at the airport looking out, watching these planes come and go. And he said he felt God speak to him. He said, everything's going to change. And this leader was saying, okay, well, and it kind of sometimes, you know, kind of abruptly, he's sitting there watching this, and he said, you know, like, what's going to change? Me and my wife's travel schedule. And this leader said he felt God speak to him. He said, no, everything's going to change. And, you know, you're sitting there. This was early 2020. And you're kind of going, yeah, everything's going to change. Yep. You know, because everything does change, right? Like, that's pretty, you know, I've heard that message in YWAM quite a few. It's a new season. It's a new day. Everything's going to change. So you kind of, you know, you go, yep, well, I'm on board with that. And then later in the year, you go, I kind of look back on that message and I go, I took encouragement to go, oh, everything is going to change and what are we going to do? So the last 4 years have been incredibly challenging for us in many ways. Australia took a very hard-lined approach to their, and some aspects to their response to COVID, and effectively banned all foreign entrants for a period of about 2 years. Now that was not about 90% of our students are international. So our school numbers dropped from like 60, we normally have 40 to 60 on a course, that dropped to under 10. And so you've got this facility that's full. The facility is designed to train hundreds of people. And you've got, you know, and people can't, you had staff that wanted to join us on that time, they couldn't come back. Our staff that were there who wanted to visit family, if they left, they couldn't get back in. And so we entered a really challenging season of ministry. And I mean, in some regards, we're still at one of our most challenging points since COVID started, because we had done well. We had built up a few cash reserves. We kept busy during the period, but we haven't seen international students flood back. A lot of people will go, you know, oh, Australia's open again. You go, yeah, because bad news travels fast. Good news doesn't travel quite as fast. So, you know, it's amazing to see what happened. But in the midst of that, one of the things that we did was, because we couldn't get students to Townsville, we were working for a long time toward opening a campus in Port Moresby, which is in Papua New Guinea. And so during that period, we were able to open a facility up there. So actually, this is now where Candy's based. So Candy's a two-hour flight from me. So if you think we're having cuppas all the time, you might be mistaken. But Candy's been a great part of what we do. And, you know, in 2015, she did, just jumping onto Candy for a bit, in 2015, she did a leadership development course, and part of what she wanted to do was improve literacy in Papua New Guinea. And in the last couple of years, they've just been able to roll out these Literacy for Life programs and engaging with schools in Papua New Guinea just to improve the literacy there, which is remarkable and touching when you hear the stories of how young people engage and what it means to them to be able to have opportunity. Because when you can't read and write, it really limits the opportunity for what you can do. And so Candy's doing great work up there. Rachel's still famous in Papua New Guinea. The white girl who can skin a wallaby better than any of the local guys. So When I went up there, it was like, oh, you're related to Rachel? Like, cool, you're in. So I think Rachel felt more at home in the jungles of Papua New Guinea than maybe in Townsville. But so it was great to see how some of these guys from here have really impacting people there in Papua New Guinea. So we've got a campus there. You can kind of see up the top. They had an old facility there that we fitted out into accommodation. There's now more accommodation bungalows out on the beach. So it's a really beautiful spot, but with all of Papua New Guinea's logistical challenges with intermittent electrical supply and water supply and sewage, it's all, the guys there are doing a great job. But we also run a dental trailer and do programs in schools to help provide dental and medical care there. And then a lot of other youth and community projects. A lot of you guys know the medical ship, so we've operated up there. We've operated medical ships up in Papua New Guinea since 2010. We've got this ship in 2014. And we're currently in a position where we're actually looking to sell this ship and hopefully transition to multiple smaller vessels. So on the right-hand side here, this is one of our healthcare teams. So in the midst of that, so COVID was very challenging in terms of getting back and forth internationally. So there was a few disruptions there. The ship's currently in Australia, but we have been continuing to send teams into Western Province. So this is not uncommon experience for them, walking through the mud and carrying supplies. And
It's great to see.
These are a few photos when we were up. The boat in the middle there, we worked with YWAM Norway to get a couple of those new patrol boats. So from that jetty property, we're doing youth and medical outreaches into surrounding villages using these boats. So they go pretty fast, as you can tell from Annie's hair. They do pretty good. Okay, this is a new project that you can either come and help build, or once it's finished, then you're really going to want to come down. And the last little bit, we've just picked up a property on Magnetic Island, which is like a 20-minute ferry ride for ours. And what we want to do with this is have a place for youth outreaches and camps. So similar to what we're doing at the youth precinct, we can do it here. But also just as a way to refresh all the volunteers. A lot of our volunteers get by on very little money, so they have enough to do that. So when they have a holiday, to make time for a holiday or anything like that, it's really challenging. So we want to be able to have a facility that, one, can cater for that, but two, we want to use it as a collaboration with Christian ministries. So to refresh Christian leaders is one thing that we want to do. So maybe once we're done, you guys can, rattle the tin to get Pastor Joey and the guys, fam over there, to kick up and come check out, make sure we're not just telling stories. But it's an abandoned site that was had, it's 24 motel rooms there. Basically 20 years ago, the sewage issues, but the environmental around the sewage, they couldn't drain it on site. So I spent the last 12 months negotiating with council to be able to connect to their sewer, which was a long process, but has been approved. So because it didn't have that sewer connection, we were able to pick it up for less than land value, which is pretty cool. So you might want to come check that one out once we're, check it out now, but you can come do it. All right, that took way longer than it should have. So that's a little bit of overview of what we're doing. So I'll go through this. But one of the things, I'll breeze through this, but one of the things that I wanted to talk about this morning in terms of a message that's impacted me greatly in the last little bit was this message of Hesed. And I don't know if you've ever heard it. It's a Hebrew word, which it says inexpressible. This is a book, Hesed, inexpressible, the mystery of God's loving kindness. And Hesed is it's a Hebrew word that has multiple interpretations. So I probably should have this next slide. I'll go here, and then I'm going to come back. So it's used approximately 250 times in the Old Testament. But it's translated, there's over 100 different words that have been used to in an attempt to try and give clarity to the richness of the concept of what it's trying to communicate. So common words that are used associated with it are mercy, compassion, love, grace, faithfulness. But when it talks about, it's this concept of God's, ultimately the one that they boiled it down to that this writer most specifically thought it was loving kindness. It encompasses mercy and grace and lots of other things. But it's this, the story as you look through the Old Testament of God extending himself, on behalf of others. And, we attempt to use words to communicate things. We talk about love, but we love ice cream. We love the Green Bay Packers. We love our wives. And you go, what does it mean? What does that word mean? And what does the concept mean? And how does that entail? But we had one of the YWAM leaders at a conference in November last year. The encouragement was to us was to go, here's a word that, as the Bible's been translated, writers have tried to grasp the depth of who God is. And we'll use words like mercy or grace. But it really doesn't quite encompass all that God wants from us. So we'll go back here, and this is I've got a few different translations out of Psalms 107:1. And it says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever. Give thanks to Adonai, for he is good. His grace continues forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. And I think, I think there's a lot of ways that I think we express this chesed to one another. Sometimes, are you guys amazed at the Bible verse that says, anyone who gives a cup of cold water in my name will not lose their reward? Like, you think about that. You think about who God is, and you think about the depth of his love to us. And you go, you ask someone, hey, could you get me a cup of water? Like, the person bringing you that cup of water doesn't go, well, I'll make sure you pay me back. Like, I mean, if somebody did that, you'd be looking, you'd be going, you'd be like, who's this guy? That's a little weird. Like, you just, I won't ask you again. Don't worry about it, But I think God sees what we do, and God expresses this loving kindness to us in lots of different ways. And, one of the things it says, while God's faithful love is eternal and limitless, humans too can express chesed to one another. Chesed motivates one person to supply a critical need to another person. It moves someone to act for the benefit of another. Acts of chesed are always performed freely, under no obligation or fear of reprisal. It moves someone to act without thinking, what's in it for me? And, one of the things as I engage in ministry and you engage in, we walk the Christian life, and what does this look like, and how do we walk? There's a verse in Timothy that I love. It's talking about our relationship with God. And, the scripture goes, if you endure with Christ, he'll endure with you. But the scripture goes on to say, if you disown Christ, he'll disown you. But it goes on to say, if you are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. And I butchered it, but it's the concept of that last one that gets me. That you go, all of us at times go, man, like, I'm really screwing this stuff up. I'm really making a mistake. I've really botched this. I haven't measured up. And you go, God goes, that's okay. Like, who I am isn't dependent upon your response to me. If you're faithless, I'll remain faithful because that's who I am. And I think this message of chesed, one of the things that I want to encourage us, as we consider how we show that to one another, you get into concept. We're in a world where sometimes people go ups, down, left, right, and you see people who make dumb choices and have consequences because of those dumb choices, and we go, I really don't want to help you out because you made a pretty dumb choice and you're now dealing with the consequences of your dumb choices, which is fair enough. We deal with lots of people as they come through that have done a lot of dumb things. But I think one of the things is, how do we become a little more Christ-like in our response to other people who do dumb things? Because in our walk with God, we've all done dumb things. And he's extended himself on behalf of us. He's expressed his chesed, his loving kindness, his grace, his mercy, his faithfulness to us in the midst of our lack of faithfulness. And I think, unfortunately, in the world that we're going into, there's going to be more people who suffer because of their dumb choices or their parents' dumb choices or what they were taught or what they believe. And you go, well, it's just easy. If you just did what I did or you just believed what I believe, then you wouldn't end up in this mess, which is true, probably true. But I think one of the things that struck me is the verse that it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. You know, and sometimes, you know, when people go, I want to share my faith, I want to do this, I want them to know the truth. You go, and the truth will set you free. The truth does. But that verse goes, it's his kindness that actually makes us want to respond to him. So I think as we walk in our Christian life, the encouragement to us is to explore this concept and to explore this message of Hesed, this loving kindness, this depth of this richness of the experience of Christ that we fail and struggle to put into our own words because we don't fully grasp it or we don't fully understand it. A pastor describes it as this: the person from which I have a right to expect nothing gives me everything. This eternal goodness and loving kindness cannot be bribed or coerced. It is freely given. It is essential to who God is and cannot be changed. So my encouragement to us as a Christian community, how do we continue to express that loving kindness that Christ has showed to us, to other people, you know, to the family of believers, but also outside of that. And it's a concept that I would love, it's a concept that I'm grappling with and love to explore more as we go. But I might pray for us and then wrap up. But God, we love you and we know you're good to us. We know you're good to us in spite of our shortcomings, in spite of our mistakes. And God, we ask that you would be with us and be near us. Help us be a little more like you in our response to people, not because they deserve it, not because we have something to gain, not because we're afraid, but God, because it's who we are becoming. Our loving kindness will not be dependent upon other people and their response. So, God, we just ask that we would express that a little better in our own personal lives and as a community. Would you walk and lead us in that? Amen. Well, it's been really nice being with you guys. There's a lot more that could be said. I probably already said too much. But one of the things that we love to do, you know, the invitation is always out there for you guys to come and join us. Whether you need a holiday, whether you need a mission trip, we find it so encouraging and refreshing to see people. And you guys have invested significantly into all of those projects. A lot of those projects would not be possible without the faithful investment of this church. And all those that we share, they're not something that we're doing. Oh, look at us. This is what we're doing. But these are all things that you're doing right here from Jump River, through your giving, through your involvement, because it's not possible without you. And so we just wanted to come and share with you a little bit of what your investment is making in Australia and Papua New Guinea. And our doors are always open and you're always welcome. So we wanted to extend that invitation to you. Much love from us.
Thanks.